This is Trojan Games, a Greek mythology J-squared fusion fic, written by J. Triffenstone, read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated R for violence and sex. Pairing, Jared Jensen. Written for the blindfold SPM prompt. It's the Trojan War, and Jared is the undefeated half-god warrior Achilles type, and Jensen is a captured prince of Troy. Jared has to decide if he'll use Jensen for ransom or take him home with him. Author's note. Fairly obviously, credit to Homer. There are a couple of direct quotes in here. Don, of course, but also the comment about kings and the description of Hector's body. Warning, death of Chad Michael Murray. The love of Patrocles is my theme, that life-giving love, in which fulfillment brought peace to the lands of the besieged Trojans, and sent the Greek invaders sailing home over the salt sea in their beaked ships. Let us begin, though, gentlefolk, with the first meetings of golden Patrocles, son of Peleus, and his lover, the hero Jensen Aclaites, son of Priam. Before even great Zeus foresaw conflict turned to harmony. Here, in the Greek camp, the resourceful Trojan Jensen, beloved of Aphrodite, stepped, hooded, between the watchfires of the Greek warriors, and spoke of home and grieving wives to his enemies, men who had camped for 5 years on a barren shore for the sake of an oath. Here, too, his enemy, quick-laughing, strong-armed Patrocles tirelessly encouraged his loyal Myrmidon soldiers, speaking of glory and gold. It was inevitable that, not recognizing each other in darkness, these two heroes, beloved of the gods, would meet. Each night they met and talked, golden Patrocles intrigued by Jensen's quick wit, and wily Jensen, the lover of men, dry-mouthed and helplessly entranced by the golden Greek hero. Unknowing enemies, in the dark, they were equal and equally unknown to each other. The fire was embers, and night's daughters clouded the sky with their dark tresses. Even the stars went veiled, and the sounding sea washed, hushed, against the sand. Crouched by the ashes, golden Patrocles, anonymous as a common soldier in his cloak and hood, fell into silence. "You grieve for your homeland," the man beside him observed. "Your father ages, your womenfolk mourn for you. Why then stay?" "I swore an oath," answered Patrocles, but his voice was slow. "For another man's wife, who left her husband's bed willingly?" Under the hood of his cloak, Patrocles' companion looked up. "You are a king in your own country," he said. "Here you do another man's bidding. You hand over your slave girls to warm his bed, and gift your hard-won prizes at his word. Did your father then raise you to bow your head at another's word?" Rich as the notes of a soft-tuned lute, and low as the call of a war trumpet, his voice stirred the golden Patrocles. Aroused by the challenge of the other's words, Patrocles' heart clenched in his breast. But true to his oath, he answered, "We cannot all be kings here." His voice was harsh, and anger disturbed his limbs into reckless activity. although dawn had already risen from the bed she shared with her husband Tithonus, Patrocles kicked the watchfire into fresh life, scattering sparks against the dark night. In their light, his companion's eyes glinted green, and under the concealing folds of his cloak, sharp-eyed Patrocles caught the gleam of gold at his wrists and neck. Slow as he was to suspicion, even trusting Patrocles knew that no common soldier wore a prince's torque or ivory-inlaid greaves, and his blood ran cold in his veins, for his companion was dear to his heart, and many were the nights they had spent in talk. Saddened, he said, "No Trojan would brave our sentries, and we have shared the same fire and the same wine cup for many nights. Yet this is the first time you have talked to me of the war, and you hide your face as a man with something to hide. What is your name, stranger?" Knowing that his disguise had failed, for a moment his companion stilled. Then he put back his hood, and golden Patrocles gazed upon a face made beautiful by the gods. In all the nights they had sat by the watchfire conversing, this was the first time Patrocles had been allowed to see beyond the concealing folds of his companion's cloak. And with that unveiling, Cupid struck his arrow true through Patrocles' stout heart. Fatal, that wound, and everlasting, foretold by the fates from the moment Patrocles, son of Peleus, came forth from his mother's womb. For the Trojan hero was beloved of Aphrodite, and both noble and beautiful to the eye, and on seeing his face, Patrocles was struck dumb, his heart leapt within his breast and his lower parts stirred. Swift on the flight of Cupid's dart came despair for the Greek hero. Rejecting dissemblement, his companion said proudly, "I am Jensen Acleites, son of Priam, king of the Trojans. I am your enemy." Long indeed were the minutes both heroes gazed upon each other over the dying watchfire. And Dawn's rosy fingers had brushed the sky crimson before great-hearted Patrocles said, "I will not harm you. Go in peace. Do not return." As the Trojan hero slipped away through the sleeping Greek soldiers, Patrocles returned to the hut he shared with his boyhood companion Chatius, turned his face to the wall, and lay in silence, his heart full. Many were the skirmishes fought on the Trojan plain, and many were the souls of great warriors sent to Hades, but never did Patrocles and Jensen Acleides meet on the battlefield. Golden Patrocles, even in his warrior fury and brave beyond telling, yet for the sake of friendship turned away from the paired black mares of the Trojan prince's chariot. Equally, wise Jensen, for the sake of Patrocles' smile, turned his long-maned horses away from the golden gleam of the Greek hero's helm, glinting in sunlight as his strong sword-arm hewed through the Trojan defenders. Many the bitter battle was fought, and many the gallant heroes lost to Hades' dark realm. But Patrocles and Jensen Acleites never again met by the Greek watchfires, to talk of chess, or horses, or music, as they had once done, finding respite from the years-long war in each other's company. But golden Patrocles could not forget the Trojan prince's words. His heart was full of longing for the green fields and gentle winds of his homeland, and he turned a critical eye on the Greek leader Agamemnon. Patrocles saw that Agamemnon lingered in his tent whilst other men fought, drank his wine unwatered, and clung to his prizes, not gifting them to his brave warriors in a way a great king should. Quick to anger and hasty with his words, Patrocles could not hold his tongue and spoke up in the Greek council. Both men argued, and many Greeks were troubled by the truth of Patrocles' words, although convinced that the war was just. After the quarrel, though, only Patrocles, sulking, returned to the hut his beloved Myrmidons had built for him. Thinking to cheer the disheartened Greeks, the friend of Patrocles' childhood, his sword brother, Chatius, son of Michaelis, drew on his bronze armor and went out to battle with the Trojans. Under the sword of the Trojan hero Hector he fell, his blonde hair sullied with blood and his blue eyes sightless forever. Swift Hermes gathered up his soul and carried it to Elysium, there to feast with the heroes of old. But Chatius' body lay on the battlefield untended, stripped of his bronze armor by the victorious hands of the Trojan hero, and left for Carrion. When the news was brought to Patrocles, his anger was terrible to see. Riven with grief, he strapped on his great sword and, without even pausing for his golden armor, set forth to the field of battle. Long and fierce was his duel with the Trojan prince Hector. Great was the rage between them, high their tempers, powerful their sword arms. When they fell together in strife, the sound of their weapons clashing was as brazen as the scream of a harpy, and their red blood ribboned their skin as they fought. But it was Patrocles, fearsome in his grief and anger, who at the last raised his sword and struck true, cleaving Hector's head from his shoulders in a single blow. Half mad in his grief, and bitterly weeping, bespattered with gore, unconquered Patrocles raised his voice to the heavens where the gods dwelt and swore. As he himself stripped and abandoned Chatius' body, so too will I treat Hector, Priam's son. In dust will he lie, and the dogs and birds of prey will make free with his flesh. Thus I swear to repay the Trojans for Chatius' death. Above the Greek hero, great Zeus witnessed his oath and grieved, for golden Patrocles was beloved of the gods. Dishonorable, though, was the oath Patrocles swore over Hector's body, and the tears of gray-haired King Priam, riven with despair at the death of his son, softened Zeus's heart. In his wisdom, he sent Hermes, messenger of the gods, to Priam's son, the wise Jensen Acleites, where he lay sleepless in his father's house, within the great walls of the city of Troy. Arise, Hermes said to the Trojan hero. Arise, gather your cloak and walk forth. I will turn the eyes of the Greeks away. Go to Patrocles, slay his grief, and bargain with him for your brother's body, that your mother Hecabe may tend her son, the dead prince Hector, with her own hands, and lay him honorably on his pyre, and your father's pity be assuaged. Not stopping to question the god's words, the Trojan prince rose, strapped on his sword, and drew on his cloak. As the god Hermes had promised, he walked unseen and unchallenged through the Greek camp until he came to the hut of Patrocles. The noise of women keening rent the air, and the shouts of men preparing for the funeral games. But Jensen paused, only to regard his brother's corpse. By the compassion of the gods, Hector's body lay as fresh as dew, his wounds closed as if he lay sleeping. For many hours, beside his brother's body, the hero Jensen grieved. At last he raised his head, dashed the tears from his eyes, and went down to the shore. There he found, unsleeping as himself, the hero Patrocles. Only the gods know what words passed between golden Patrocles and wise Jensen on the Trojan beach. Heated in his anger and inflamed by Cupid's dart festering in his heart, Patrocles was not gentle. Aphrodite's beloved, Jensen Acleites, could deny the hero nothing. Between the sounding sea and the shore, rolling in the salt waves, Patrocles took the Trojan prince over and over again as a man takes a woman, spending his grief in the hero's embrace. Equally, overcome by the golden Patrocles, the warrior Jensen spread his strong thighs willingly and granted the Greek hero surcease, finding in the taking his own grief assuaged. At the last, the two heroes slept under a single cloak, their limbs entwined and their breath mingled. And there great Zeus saw them and smiled. Thus it was that, as dawn approached on crimson toes, Jensen Acleites of Troy, son of Priam, and Patrocles of Phthia, where the Myrmidons dwelt, son of Peleus, walked hand in hand from the beach to the Greek camp. Together they instructed the women to clean and dress brave Hector's body, and then carried it to share the bier where brave Chatius lay in state, surrounded by the prizes of his sword arm. It was Jensen Acleites who called his father King Priam from the walls of the city, where he stood tearing his gray locks in grief. And it was Patrocles who took the old man by the hand, led him to the shared bier, and put the torch in his hand. Amazed by the two heroes, and united in grief, the Greeks and the Trojans participated together as equals in the funeral games of Hector and Chatius. Many were the contests fought, and many the prizes won. Many heroes, both Greek and Trojan, tested their prowess on the Trojan plain. Only King Agamemnon sulked in his tent, disconsolate and angered. Even his brother, Menelaus of the loud war cry, Helen's husband, bestirred himself to walk among the Trojan warriors and feast with King Priam in the funeral pavilions. Many were the toasts drunk, many the friendships forged, many the alliances made during the funeral games of Hector and Chatius. None more so than that of Jensen Acleides and golden Patrocles, son of Peleus. Blessed by the gods, shield to each other's sword arm, laughter to each other's heart, all men marveled at their happiness and wondered at such enemies made friends. When the 12 days of the games were over, before the walls of Troy, lined with brave warriors and the Greek heroes massed on the plain, under the eyes of the gods, golden Patrocles took Jensen, prince of Troy, to be his own. As Paris took Helen from her husband's arms, he said, so I take Jensen from his father's kingdom. Even as Helen will never again see the green fields of Lacedaemon again, so too will Jensen Acleites never again set his eyes on the walls of Troy. Lost to him forever is his father's face and his mother's embrace, as Helen will never again lie in her husband's arms. Grave-faced, clothed simply as befits a warrior, Aphrodite's beloved Jensen affirmed the Greek hero's oath. Drawing himself from his father's arms and leaving his mother weeping bitterly, wise Jensen Acleides set his face from his home and sailed, never to return, on the ship of his lover Patrocles to the country of Phthia. Along with them sailed in their beaked ships the Greek heroes, returning thankfully to their homes and wives with many golden prizes and an honorable alliance. Thus, with his own body, Jensen Acleites, son of Priam, sealed peace between Greece and Troy, and to this day never again have heroes met in battle on the Trojan plains. Such were the wedding rites of Jensen Acleites and Patocles, jointly beloved of the gods. The end.